Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. As many know, I am diabetic, and I had a heart attack. Well, after all this occurred, I have had trouble healing. The physicians, quote unquote, prescribed all this stuff from Big Pharma, and it did absolutely nothing for me. I was at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and a friend of mine turned me on to the longevity products that Jim Ram has on yourdiyhealth.com. Now that's on EFR. I have been using those products that were given to me because I'm a big skeptic and I have to be shown that something actually works. Well, I am really amazed. My sugar levels have dropped. I've stopped taking all that Big Pharma stuff. They're down around normal levels. My energy level is way up. I am healing because the diabetes is under control. And basically, folks, I feel great. Now, I don't usually endorse products, okay? Being the big skeptic that I am. But this stuff really works for me. That's the only thing that I can say is a personal testimony that this stuff is effective. You can get a hold of Jim at 855-809-6864. That's 855-809-6864. That's their toll-free order number. His website is yourdiyhealth.com. There's no separations in that. It's all one stream. The longevity products have really helped me. That's my personal testimony. And I recommend that if you are having problems like I was having problems, you give them a try. Thank you very much. And may Yahweh bless and keep you.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the against the foe, forward into battle, see his banner go.
Ah, yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded, white, Christian, Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is for the 4th of May, 2018. We are in the Books of the Apocrypha, and we will be beginning today in the book of Sirach. It is called Ecclesiasticus, or the Wisdom of Jesus, son of Sirach. Big long read. There are 51 chapters. It starts out with a prologue. It has lots of notes in my version. I have the New Revised Standard Version, and it has copious notes. So I will be reading those. There are some verses that they have omitted in the regular text, but they are in the notes, and you will be getting them as well. Wherever they have the Lord, where it pertains to Yahweh, I will be using the name of Yahweh. Because when they printed this version of the Bible, they it's not a sacred name Bible. They put the Lord, which is improper. I will restore the holy name. It has subsections, like some of the other books, in praise of wisdom, and another one is fear of Yahweh is true wisdom, and another one is duties toward Elohim, and on and on. There are notes for each chapter, which I will be reading with when I reach that verse, because there are so many. If I neglect to do that, you'll get confused and fall behind, and it just won't be good. They have versions of this on the internet, but they don't have the notes. I have had this book for years, and it is extensive as far as notations, which I will be giving you. So let's get started here with the prologue. Many great teachings have been given to us through the law and the prophets and the others, or other books. That's in another version. That's part of the notes that followed them. And for these, we should praise Israel for instruction and wisdom. Now, those who read the scripture must not only themselves understand them, but must also, as lovers of learning, be able through the spoken and written word to help the outsiders. In other words, those of Israel that have not had the access or teaching that is contained therein. We are to help instruct others of our race. So my grandfather Jesus, because this is in Greek, okay, who had devoted himself especially to the reading of the law and the prophets and the other books of our ancestors, and had acquired proficiency in them, was himself also led to write something pertaining to instruction and wisdom, so that by becoming familiar also with his book, or with these things, those who love learning might make even greater progress in living according to the law. You are invited, therefore, to read it with goodwill and attention, to be indulgent in cases where, despite our diligent labor in translating, we may seem to have rendered some phrases imperfectly. Now pay attention to this. For what was originally expressed in Hebrew does not have exactly the same sense when translated into another language, like Greek. Okay. Not only this book, but even the law itself, the prophecies, and the rest of the books differ not a little when read in the original. Let's stop right here. I went to the Hebrew and gave you the entire Old Testament according to the Hebrew, not English, not Greek, not Latin. That's why my versions are so different, because I didn't play with it. I gave you what it said in the Hebrew, and if it differs from your version, that's the way it is. Continuing on. When I came to Egypt in the 38th year of the reign of Ergetes, that's Eugetes, however it's pronounced, and stayed for some time, I found opportunity for no little instruction. And other versions have, I found a copy affording no little instruction. Okay. It seemed highly necessary that I should myself devote some diligence and labor to the translation of this book. During that time, I have applied my skill day and night to complete and publish the book for those living abroad who wish to gain learning and are disposed to live according to the law. Now, he's speaking of the Israelites in dispersion. All right, now we get into the text. And in chapter 1, there are three verses that are missing, which are in the notes, verse 5, verse 7, and verse 21. I will be giving you those verses because they are in the notes. Chapter 1, verse 1, in praise of wisdom. All wisdom is from Yahweh. Let's stop right here. I will not be using the Lord. Where it pertains to Yahweh, I will use the holy name of Yahweh. Again, all wisdom is from Yahweh, and with him it remains forever. Verse 2. The sand of the sea, the drops of rain, and the days of eternity. Who can count them? The height of heaven, the breadth of the earth, the abyss, and wisdom. All right, there's another note. Okay, or the depths of the abyss, because that counteracts the height of heaven. Okay. Who can search them out? Verse 4. Wisdom was created before all other things, and prudent understanding from eternity. Other ancient verses add, as verse 5 here. This would be verse 5, which is not in the regular text. The source of wisdom is Elohim's word in the highest heaven, and her ways are the eternal commandments. Okay, verse 6. The root of wisdom, to whom has it been revealed? Her subtleties, who knows them? And again, here is a verse they left out. This would be verse 7. The knowledge of wisdom, to whom was it manifested? And her abundant experience, who has understood it? Verse 8. There is but one who is wise, greatly to be feared, seated upon his throne, Yahweh. Now, verse 1, where I said all wisdom is from Yahweh, you can reference Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. Here we are at verse 9, and you can reference Proverbs chapter 8, verses 22 through 31, and also the book of Sirach, chapter 24, verse 9. Okay, here's verse 9 here. It is he who created her. He saw her and took her measure. He poured her out upon all his works. verse 10, upon all the living according to his gift. He lavished her upon those who love him. And other authorities add, love of Yahweh is glorious wisdom to those to whom he appears. He apportions her that they may see him. Now, we are in another subsection. Fear of Yahweh is true wisdom. Verse 11. The fear of Yahweh is glory and exaltation, and gladness and a crown of rejoicing. Verse 12. The fear of Yahweh delights the heart and gives gladness and joy and long life. Okay. Now we have another section here. Other authorities add the fear of Yahweh is a gift from Yahweh. Also for love he makes firm paths. Verse 13. Those who fear Yahweh will have a happy end. On the day of their death, they will be blessed. I had to clear my throat there. Pardon me, folks. Verse 14. And you will hear this elsewhere. The fear, or to fear Yahweh, is the beginning of wisdom. Solomon said that. She is created with the faithful in the womb. Verse 15. She made among human beings, that would be Adam in the Hebrew, an eternal foundation, and it has note I here. She made as a nest among Adam an eternal foundation, and among their descendants she will abide faithfully. See, they put the human being aspect in here, where if it is addressed to Israel, it would be Adam, because we are not human beings. We are not hewed. We are a particular pure race. Okay? Verse 16. To fear Yahweh is fullness of wisdom. She inebriates mortals with her fruits. Verse 17, and you can reference the Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 7, verse 11. She fills their whole house with desirable goods and their storehouses with her produce. Okay, now it has a note on this one. Her. Okay, that would be, she fills her whole house with desirable good and her storehouses with her produce. Okay, verse 18, the fear of Yahweh is the crown of wisdom, making peace and perfect health to flourish. And there's another note here. It adds, both are gifts of Elohim for peace. Glory opens out for those who love him. He saw her and took her measure. Okay. Verse 19. She rained down knowledge and discerning comprehension, and she heightened the glory of those who held her fast. verse 20. Okay. Verse 21 is missing in this text, but it adds it in the notes. To fear Yahweh is the root of wisdom, and her branches are long life. And verse 21 would be, the fear of Yahweh drives away sins, and where it abides, it will turn away all anger. And that ties in with verse 22. Verse 22, unjust anger cannot be justified, for anger tips the scale to one's ruin. In other words, keep a cool head. Verse 23, those who are patient stay calm until the right moment. And then cheerfulness comes back to them. Verse 24. This is very important. They hold back their words until the right moment. Then the lips of many tell of their good sense. Now, verse 20, to fear Yahweh is the root of all wisdom, you can reference Proverbs chapter 3, verse 16, and chapter 4, verse 10. And here we are at verse 25. In the treasuries of wisdom are wise sayings, but godliness is an abomination to a sinner. Stop right there. They hate us today because we want to follow the law. They hate that. The ones that have given themselves over to a reprobate mind hate us greatly. Verse 26. If you desire wisdom, keep the commandments, and Yahweh will lavish her upon you. Verse 27. For the fear of Yahweh is wisdom and discipline. Fidelity and humility are his delight. Verse 28. Do not disobey the fear of Yahweh. Do not approach him with a divided mind. Verse 29. Do not be a hypocrite before others and keep watch over your lips. In other words, don't say one thing and do another. Verse 30. Do not exalt yourself, or you may fall and bring dishonor upon yourself. Yahweh will reveal your secrets and overthrow you before the whole congregation because you did not come in the fear of Yahweh and your heart was full of deceit. Oh, boy. In the Judeo-Christian churches, boy, the rich folks, they're so goody-goody when they're in the congregation and they get right back out on the outside and start their dirty business practices again. And their love of money shows. Oh, yeah, they'll donate to make themselves look good, but it's all about ego. It's about how they look. Oh, I'm so righteous. Well, what does Scripture say about righteousness? There is none righteous. No, not one. And that includes preachers and people who read Scripture on the radio. My biggest enemy is the guy in the mirror. Okay? He makes me make mistakes all the time. I don't lead a perfect life. In this earthly body, it's not possible. But you make a good effort at it, and you love Yahweh and try to serve Him, and that's what He expects. Little coffee there. Let's get into chapter 2. And this is subtitled Duties Toward God. Verse 1. My child, when you come to serve Yahweh, prepare yourself for testing. And the notes say, or trials. We are tried. We have trials in this word, in this world, all the time. Okay? People are testing us. That's a daily event. Especially if you're on the side of Yahweh and you're trying to do what's right. Verse 2. Set your heart right and be steadfast. And do not be impetuous in time of calamity. In other words, don't rush to judgment. Don't jump the gun and make a foolish decision. Verse 3. Cling to Him and do not depart, so that your last days may be prosperous. Verse 4 of chapter 2. Accept whatever befalls you, and in times of humiliation be patient. Here is verse 5, and the notes for verse 5 say, refer to the wisdom of Solomon, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, and 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 7. Verse 5 here, for gold is tested in the fire, and those found acceptable in the furnace of humiliation. Or, in other versions, in sickness and poverty, put your trust in Him. That would be on the tag end of that. Verse 6. Trust in Him and He will help you and make your way straight and hope in Him. Hope in Yahweh. That's the only hope, okay? We may have to fight a battle, but if He isn't with us, we will lose. But if He is with us, if we are obedient and in His remnant that He loves, nobody can stand against us. Verse 7, you who fear Yahweh, wait for His mercy. Do not stray, or else you may fall. Verse 8, you who fear Yahweh, trust in Him, and your reward will not be lost. Here's verse 9. You who fear Yahweh, hope for good things, for lasting joy and mercy. And another book adds, for His reward is an everlasting gift with joy. Verse 10. consider the generations of old and see. Has anyone trusted in Yahweh and been disappointed? Or has anyone persevered in the fear of Yahweh? And another version has him and been forsaken? Or has anyone called upon him and been neglected? Verse 11. Okay. For Yahweh is compassionate and merciful. He forgives sins and saves in time of distress. Verse 12. Woe to timid hearts and to slack hands and to the sinner who walks a double path. Those are the people that show up in church on Sunday and then go out and do dirty deeds during the week. Verse 13. Woe to the faint-hearted who have no trust. Therefore they will have no shelter. Verse 14. Oh, listen to this one. Woe to you who have lost your nerve. What will you do when Yahweh's reckoning comes? What you gonna do when he comes for you? Remember that? Oh boy. Here's verse 15 and 16, and you can reference the Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 18, the book of John, chapter 14, verses 15, 21, and 23. There's verse 15. Those who fear Yahweh do not disobey his words, and those who love him keep his ways. Verse 16. Those who fear Yahweh seek to please him, and those who love him are filled with his law. Verse 17. Those who fear Yahweh prepare their hearts and humble themselves before him. Verse 18. Let us fall into the hands of Yahweh, but not into the hands of mortals. For equal to his majesty is his mercy, and equal to his name are his works. Now that's equal to his name are his works is not in the Greek, it's in the Syriac. Now we come to another subsection and a new chapter. This will be chapter 3, and it's titled Duties Toward Parents. Listen to, this is verse 1 of chapter 3. Listen to me, your father, O children. Act accordingly that you may be kept in safety. Verse 2. For Yahweh honors a father above his children, and he confirms a mother's right over her children. Verse 3. Those who honor their father atone for sins. Verse 4. And those who respect their mother are like those who lay up treasure. Verse 5. Those who honor their father will have joy in their own children, and when they pray, they will be heard. Verse 6. Those who respect their father will have long life, and those who honor their mother obey Yahweh. And instead of the word honor, in the other versions, it says comfort, those who comfort their mother. Verse 7, they will serve their parents as their masters. And in another version, that line is preceded by, those who fear Yahweh honor their father. They will serve their parents as their masters. Here is verse 8 of chapter 3, and you can reference Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. That's Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father by word and deed, that his blessing may come upon you. Verse 9. For a father's blessing strengthens the houses of the children, but a mother's curse uproots their foundations. Verse 10. This is very much like Proverbs so far. It's very similar in the style and flavor of it. Verse 10, do not glorify yourself by dishonoring your father. For your father's dishonor is no glory to you. Verse 11, the glory of one's father is one's own glory. Verse 11, and it is a disgrace for children not to respect their mother. Verse 12, my child, help your father in his old age, and do not grieve him as long as he lives. That's pretty good. Verse 13. Even if his mind fails, be patient with him, because you have all your faculties. Do not despise him. When they get old and senile, you take care of your parents. You don't stick them off somewhere. You take care of your parents. Verse 14. For kindness to a father will not be forgotten and will be credited to you against your sins. Verse 15, in the day of your distress, it will be remembered in your favor like frost in fair weather. your sins will melt away. Verse 16. Whoever forsakes a father is like a blasphemer. And whoever angers a mother is cursed by Yahweh. All right, let's stop right here. Now that section is for those who have righteous parents. Okay, that's common sense. If you have a father that's not there, he's a drunk and a druggie, and he's out whoring around. He's never at home. He doesn't support the family. He's a worthless piece of garbage. I don't see where this applies. But if you have a father, even if he's poor, he works every day. He brings home the bacon. He takes care. He's faithful to your mother. He may not make a lot of money, but he's an honorable man. Okay? That's food for thought. That's my opinion. You know, this is my show. I can stick it in if I want. Here's another subsection of chapter 3. It's called humility. My child, verse 17. My child, perform your tasks with humility. And the Greek has meekness. Then you will be loved by those whom Elohim accepts. Okay? They have God in here, but God is a pagan term. It comes from Gad, the god of luck. Okay? Elohim, a divine being. The divine being. Verse 18 of chapter 3, and you can reference Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Verse 18, the greater you are, the more you must humble yourself. So you will find favor in the sight of Yahweh. It adds in verse 19. There's a verse missing here. Okay. Many are lofty and renowned, but to the humble he reveals his secrets. That's verse 19 that's missing, okay? Verse 20, for great is the might of Yahweh, but by the humble he is glorified. Verse 21, neither seek what is too difficult for you, nor investigate what is beyond your power. Verse 22, and you can reference Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. That's Deuteronomy 29, 29. Verse 22, reflect upon what you have been commanded, for what is hidden is not your concern. All right. Yahweh will reveal what he wants us to know. Okay, that's the thing. Don't overextend yourself. Verse 23, do not meddle in matters that are beyond you, for more than you can understand has been shown you. You have to grow into it. If you're not ready, well. Verse 24, for their conceit has led many astray, and wrong opinion has impaired their judgment. In other words, you jump to a conclusion with insufficient information and you make a fool of yourself. I've never done that. Yeah, right. Okay, here's verse 25, and some of the other books don't have this verse, but this one does. Without eyes, there is no light. Without knowledge, there is no wisdom. Verse 26. A stubborn mind will fare badly at the end, and whoever loves danger will perish in it. Verse 27. A stubborn mind will be burdened by troubles, and the sinner adds sin to sins. Verse 28. When calamity befalls the proud, there is no healing, for an evil plant has taken root in him. Verse 29, the mind of the intelligent appreciates proverbs, and an attentive ear is the desire of the wise. Now here's another little subsection of chapter 3, alms for the poor. Verse 30, as water extinguishes a blazing fire, so almsgiving atones for sin. Verse 31, those who repay favors give thought to the future. When they fall, they will find support. Now that ends chapter 3. We only have about 10 minutes here, so we're going to reflect on what we've done today. I will begin chapter 4 on Monday, May the 7th. I may very well record it this weekend. I'm doing this well in advance and trying to get ahead because I have so much book work to do, and I'm trying to publish things, and it is very difficult to get everything done when I'm scrambling trying to multitask with three or four things. I really need to take better care of myself. I have been doing so lately, and taking my stuff from DIY Health, and my health is dramatically improving very rapidly now. I'm very pleased. But we've seen a lot of wisdom literature in this book as well. I noted the similarities in writing style between Wisdom of Solomon, Proverbs, and this. It's very, very similar. They separate into subsections, as they do in the other literature. There's a lot of really good food for thought in this. I am amazed that this coincides with a great deal of other scripture. They made a mistake when they took all of this out of the Bible, the regular Bibles. Very, very foolish on their part, at least in my opinion, which is worth what, you know. I'm entitled to an opinion, but it's like everybody else's. No big deal. This adds to our knowledge and gives words of wisdom and words of support on a lot of things. These are, when read properly, words of hope. And in these days, we really need to bolster our hope, because we're seeing this wickedness that's in the world today. Really take hold, and it's getting worse and worse, and the violence level is growing in a lot of the countries. We are seeing the rape and murder of women in Europe. We're seeing it here, but we've always had that here. In the United States, Europe is unfortunately self-destructing in a lot of ways. They are eliminating the indigenous people and the culture of those people from individual European nations. They are turning them into foreign countries without making them foreign countries. It's really shocking to see the cultural change that is destroying the history and way of life of the European people. Now, this is Eurofolk Radio, okay? We have a big audience across the pond. Even though I'm in the United States, there's a lot of people that listen elsewhere. They are of Israel as we are of Israel. They may be in Sweden or France or Germany, But they are Israelites, as we are Israelites here. We are dispersed in all the nations. And we need to attend to their needs instead of just saying, well, I'm an American and no. I am an Israelite sojourning in the United States. That's what I am doing. I am a sojourner here. I am a citizen of the kingdom of Yahweh that's coming. I need to obey the laws of the kingdom of Yahweh. I need to have concern for my racial brothers and sisters above all others. Okay? Above all others. I mean, it's all well and good to have compassion for the downtrodden, but not at the expense of your own. There's an old saying, charity begins at home. And we need to take care of our people first. Well, I'm coming down the end here. I've got less than 4 minutes. It's been a pleasure speaking with you. I will be back again on Monday the 7th and start in on chapter 4 of the book of Sirach. May Yahweh bless and keep you, and stay safe. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. You are listening to EuroFolkRadio.com. We are privileged to bring you the Christian identity message to the dispersed people of true Israel, wherever they might be. We also bring you news and current events, health information, political commentary, and a little humor thrown in. We are glad that you could join us, and may Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh.
See God's ark a-moving, see God's ark a-moving. Picks me up on my lonely days and carries me through tomorrow. The rain came up hard, you know, and the wind began to blow. And I lifted my voice up into the sky and cried mercy to my soul. See God's ark a-moving, see God's ark a-moving. Picks me up on my lonely days and carries me through tomorrow. God must have felt my faith. He held me till it was safe. And I never again drew a doubting breath, cause he delivered me from my death. See God's ark a-moving, see God's ark a-moving. Picks me up on my lonely days and carries me through tomorrow.